In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Last week I spoke about Hosea, and I spoke about God stripping the church and God stripping us until we repented. That the stripping was not that we would be destroyed, but that we would be repentant. I received a call, or I should say I received an email from somebody in Arizona that said to me, "Father Tom, I lost my house, I lost my job, and I had bought pills, I was going to take my life." And then he said, "Then you talked about stripping, that God was stripping us so that we would turn to him and repent." He said, "I never thought that a Catholic priest could ever preach a sermon like that that would cause me to throw all those pills into the toilet." You know, that God doesn't strip to destroy us. God strips so that we might repent. The church is being stripped to repent, but the church has no idea about repentance, because you know what I'm saying? We're into the worldly things and not into the spiritual things. And God will not be mocked until the church repents. All the churches, we're going to continue to see the destruction of Western civilization in the United States. That's the destruction of Christianity. And by God's grace, there will be a remnant. By God's grace, there will be a remnant, even as Joseph Ratzinger talked about in the 50s. By God's grace, there will be a remnant. But that he also told us that the church would be stripped, and that it would be nothing what we saw it to be in the 1950s, that it would be a remnant. And I know why, because the Lord is stripping his church. He is stripping his church because he wants a people that are his own, and he wants a bride without spot or wrinkle. And he's not looking for a business organization. He's looking for a church that's filled with faith, and that works through love. But you know what? If he doesn't find it, there's more stripping that's going to take place. But not only the church, but us. Stripping, 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 stripping. We read from Hosea, and we heard that Hosea was asked to marry a prostitute, and that he was to feel what God feels, because his people Israel had prostituted him on the mountain. And as a result, God stripped Israel bare, looking for repentance. Now let's look at Hosea 13. "My people are bent on backsliding from me." That's an interesting thing. "My people are bent from backsliding from me. Though they call them to the Most High, none at all would exalt God, my Lord. Their necks were so stiff, just like the neck of Pharaoh." Just like the neck of Pharaoh, it was so stiff that he never would give in. "My people are bent on backsliding from me. Though they call them to the Most High, none at all would exalt the Lord." And then the Lord says this, "But how shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I set thee as Zeboim? My heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim. For I am God and not a man, the Holy One in your midst. I will not do this." Oh my. You see, it doesn't depend upon anyone but the love of God. Oh yes, he strips so that we would repent, not that he would ever destroy us. How could I destroy you? You are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. How could I give you up? You know, I don't care what you've done, if it's an individual or a church, how can I give you up? You belong to me. You were purchased with the blood of Jesus. How can I give you up? I'll keep on stripping you. but I can't give you up. I will never give you up. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. I will never, never turn my back on you. Even though my people are bent on backsliding, oh, they will be stripped, but I will never give you up, because I am not man, I am God. I will never turn my back on you. Why don't you return? Return with words, it tells us in Hosea. Return with words of repentance. Return with tears. Return with a broken heart. As it says in Psalm 51, a humble, contrite heart, O God, you will not spurn. Oh, yes. Return unto the Lord. Return unto the Lord, because he will never reject you. But you know what? If the church, all the churches, continue in their backsliding and not living by faith but by sight, for the just man lives by faith, and he is a light to the nations. We heard that yesterday. You see, the very words that the church gives us in her liturgy condemn us. The just man lives by faith. Because, you see, there is no justice apart from faith. In the New Testament, they call Joseph, Mary's husband, a just man. That means he's a faithful man. Justice is obtained by living by faith. Not by sight, but by living by faith. By trusting God. That's how justice is obtained. You become a just person when you walk in the ways of the Lord, faithfully giving your life to him, and faithfully walking with him, despite what's happening. Oh, yes. And if we do not do that because we belong to God, he will strip us. He will strip us, and he will strip us, but he will not abandon us. How could I give you up? I can never give you up. But doesn't mean I cannot strip you. I cannot strip you bare until you realize you had a good home and you left it. You had a God who cared for you, and you decided to play the harlot on the mountains, Israel. But the way we play the harlot is that we've delved into the world. Can I tell you something that I really believe, okay? I'm going to tell you something that I really believe. We say that we are pro-life, okay? We say we're pro-life. That means we are pro-life from A to Z, all right? That means that every life is valuable, okay? Even child molesters. That's right. Do you remember when that poor priest that destroyed so many lives was killed in prison? Do you remember that? I do. How many stood up for that poor priest? Not because of his molestation, but because one life is important. They killed him, Father Gagin. They killed him. When one life is not important, then no life is important. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, what the man did was evil. And I pray he sought forgiveness. But let me tell you, when they destroyed his life in jail and killed him, who stood up for his life? How pathetic. I did. Not that it made any difference, but I did. And if I lost people who listened, that's tough. Because you see, what he did was evil. But his life needs to be protected. His life needs to be protected. Because when you destroy one life, you destroy every life. When you destroy the life in the womb, then nobody is worth living. They can come and destroy anybody else. And that's what they're doing with the elderly now. But who would stand up for Father Gagin? Oh, Mamma Mia, what will the Globe say? It's not what the Globe says. What will God say? Do you understand what I'm saying? What will God say? And if I lose listeners, that's just tough. What he did was evil, but his life needs to be protected if we are pro-life. See, it's easy to talk, okay? It's easy to talk. Anybody can talk. Anybody can talk. But following it through is another thing. Do you know that no matter what you've done, God will not give you up? Do you know that no matter how many times you've done it, he will not give you up? You know why? He is not man. Maybe your mother has turned against you and your father has turned against you and nobody wants to listen to you. But do you know if you run to the cross that he will never leave you nor forsake you? Do you know that he can bandage up your wounds and heal you? Do you know that he can make a new creation out of you through his blood, the blood of Jesus? Do you know that? Do you know that even if I turned my back on you, if I turned my back on you, Jesus won't. I try not to turn my back on anybody. Yesterday I had two young people in for lunch, okay, and they're in college and they were at Mass, so I invited them in for lunch. And somehow the topic came about stealing, and one of the young people said, oh, they'd never would steal from a priest. And I started to laugh. I said, I have been stolen from so many times that you could not even count the times they have ripped me off. Didn't believe it. But you know what? Even the people who have stolen from me, I have forgiven them. You know why? I'm not holding it against them. They've stolen. And who am I? I'm not God. I'm not God. I won't let them steal again. I remember the man that was in our house. I had helped the family so much, this family. You know, I'd done things for this family that no one else would do. And one day, as I was going up to my room, I found the man in the drawer looking for money. We got all upset. I've come up here to fix the air conditioner. I don't think so, I said. You come up here to steal. Why don't you just admit it, and I'll forgive you. He wouldn't admit it. Never saw him again. I said, why don't you just admit it, and I'll forgive you. What does the Word of God say? How shall I give you up? I can't. I can't give you up. I bought you with the price. I can't give you up. My son gave his life for you. I can't give you up. How can I give you up? Impossible. Come back to me with words of repentance. Turn away from your sin. And the stripping will stop. Turn away from your sin and the stripping will stop. Hear the word of the Lord, because I cannot give you up. No matter what happens in your life, I cannot give you up. I've given my life for you in my son Jesus Christ. He poured out the last drop of his blood for you, ransomed by the blood of the Lamb. How could I give you up? Return to me with words and a life that says no more, one day at a time. Get to confession. Return to me. Oh, yeah. Come back to me with all your heart. Don't let fear keep us apart. How could I give you up? Totally impossible. And what God speaks to you as individuals, he says the same thing to the church. How could I give you up, church? I can never give my church up. But until you repent, church, I will strip you bare. I will strip you bare of all your beauty, as John, as Benedict the 15th said when he was Joseph Ratzinger, that the church would be stripped of all of its beauty. And the only thing God is waiting for is that God's people, led by the bishops, would fall on our faces and say, we have not lived by faith. We have become just like the world. And you know what God will say? How could I give you up? How could I give you up, church? I bought you with the price. But you still think that playing the harlot on the hill and delving into the world and delving into the ways of the world and not living by faith, well, I will continue to strip the church, even if it means that only a remnant will be left. And you know who says that? Joseph Ratzinger, not me. That's when he was a young priest or a young bishop. Can't give you up. Then he talks about how gentle he is in the 14th chapter. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by your sins. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto the Lord, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. In other words, Lord's not looking for sacrifices, but the calves of our lips, the sacrifice of our lips that speaks from the heart. Take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously. Ashur shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods. For in thee, Father, the fatherless finds mercy. Take with you words, words that express your heart. Turn back to me. You have fallen by your sins. Give me words that express your heart. I will not reject you. Do not worship the world anymore. Do not worship the ways of the world. Live by faith. And what does the Lord say? I will heal your backsliding. I will love you freely, for my anger is turned away from my people. What did it say in the 11th chapter? And my people are bent on backsliding from me. What does it say in the 14th chapter? I will heal your backsliding. But what do I need? I need a heart that's broken and pure. I need a heart that says, Lord, we have sinned against you. Turn unto me, says the Lord. Tell me, take away all my sins. Receive me graciously. Oh God, have mercy on me. And then I will heal your backsliding. And I will love you freely, for my anger is turned away from him. I will be as dew unto Israel. Here it is again. Gentle. You who have backslid and you who have spit in my face, after you repent, I will be so gentle like dew that falls on the grass. So gentle. I will not hurt you. I will not harm you. I will not destroy you. I will not abandon you. I will be like dew. Like dew. Dew upon the grass, that every blade of grass is painted. I will be like dew, so gentle, so loving. And he shall grow as a lily and cast forth his roots. His branches shall spread and his beauty shall be the olive tree. And he shall have the smell of Lebanon. And they that dwell under his shadow shall return, and they shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. I tell you, I will not abandon you. I will not leave you. I will not destroy you because I am not a man. I will not give you up, but I will strip you. I will strip you until you reach the point that you repent and come back with words, words that express a heart that's broken. For a humble heart, contrite heart, O Lord, you will not spurn. And so, what is the forecast for the church in the days to come? Will it be stripping? Or words of repentance that express a broken heart? What is the forecast for you and me? Will it be stripping? Or will it be words of repentance? Then the Lord says, I will be like the dew. Like the dew. Like the dew. My love will be so gentle. I shall not abandon you. I shall not forsake you, for I am not a man. For I have carved you on the palms of my hands, and you are mine. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I have called you to be mine, all mine. And the ball is in our court, you know. The ball is in our court. That's why you don't have to kill yourself. That's why you don't have to do anything drastic. You just need to run to Jesus. Run to the crucified Lord and tell him, I've sinned. I've backslidden. You've given me so much, but I return to you. Break my heart with love. 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 Break my heart with love, Jesus. Break my heart with love, Jesus. A humble, contrite heart, O Lord, you will not spurn. A humble, contrite heart, you will not spurn. And I will be like the dew to Israel as she comes back to me with words of repentance that express her broken heart. But not only to Israel, but the church and the churches. But not only to the church and to the churches, but to you and to me. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, wonderful Holy Spirit, come. Come and do what I cannot do. Come and breathe upon your people. Come and hold your people. Be like dew to the broken. To those who were backslidden, they're coming back now, Lord. They're coming back. Be ever so gentle, ever so kind, ever so merciful. Be like dew to these people now, Jesus. Let your Holy Spirit come upon them. Please, Lord, a bruised reed you shall not break, a smoldering wick you shall not quench. Have mercy on your people, starting with me and us. For, Lord, we have sinned. We want to live by faith now. We want to walk in your ways. Come, Holy Spirit, and be like dew to the broken. Amen. The love of God is before everything and after everything and for you. And never against you. He doesn't hate you, you know. How could I give you up, he says. He doesn't hate you. And somehow we believe he hates us. He doesn't hate you at all. You hate you, but he doesn't hate you. Listen, I need to hear from you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. For us to do these broadcasts, it takes quite a bit of money, and God has been so good to us these last 27 years. because we could never do this without your help. And without the hand of God be on us, this could not be done. This could never be done. But it has been done for 27 years, and by God's grace, if you continue to pray for me, give me another 27, then I'm ready to kick off. By God's grace, by God's grace, by God's grace. Just to be able to tell people every day, nothing's hopeless, nothing's hopeless, nothing hopeless. And you're not hopeless either. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Yes, more roofs are falling in. Jimmy sent me a picture of a roof he was doing today, 3 feet of snow. And you know what? Don't let that happen to you, because it's cheaper to have the snow removed than it is to have a new roof. Even I know that. Come on, if you need Jimmy to take the snow off your roof, 617-519-0341. Jimmy the roofer, 617-519-0341. 617-519-0341. And you know, I have someone that's our housekeeper on weekends, and she's looking for a job to do housekeeping. And you can call 617-846-1210, 617-846-1210, 617-846-1210, 617-846-1210. That's housekeeping. And Jimmy the roofer, 617-519-0341. And by the grace of God, we'll be back tomorrow with more news from the gospel. It's always good news. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.